And is Josephine Bundy? Are you here, Josephine? She's out. A few weeks ago, Josephine Bundy was baptised, and she asked for a certificate. So I had one here and was going to present it to her, but she's ducked out. So we'll try to present that another time. Well, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, and we thank you for the book of Samuel that shows us the difference between faithfulness and compromise. Help us persevere in faith for your glory. Amen. Today's sermon is a little bit shorter for the sake of our brigades, but it's going to recap some of the things that we've been looking at in our Sunday morning service. There's been a few stories that have been on my mind this year, but there are two that stand out particularly. The first, of course, is the book of the Bible that we've been preaching through, 1 Samuel, and that's of history, of Israel's history, where we find the contrast between the main players. We saw in the last year a prayerful woman like Hannah, wicked priests like Hophni and Phinehas, faithful prophet like Samuel, a hard-hearted king like David, and an imperfect yet soft-hearted servant to be soon to be king, that's David. And the second story that's been on my mind this year as well is an ordinary pastor who lived in the middle of last century by the name of Richard Vernbrand. You would have heard me mention his name a number of times. He was caught up in the Soviet Union when they came through Romania with the communist rule in the middle of last century, and he faced incredible hardships as a pastor, along with all the Christians there, and he endeavoured to be faithful. And there's a similar question between the book of Samuel and that of Richard Vernbrand and the lives of Christians like him is, will we compromise? Will we be comfortable? Will we go after the success or the ease? Or will we be faithful? You know, what is it that you want? Do you want to be successful and comfortable, or do you want to be faithful? Well, let's start with just some of the story of 1 Samuel up until the passage we've read. Samuel actually begins at the end of Judges. It sets the scene. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So God's law, God's moral commandments had been brushed aside, and each person elevated themselves to the position of kings and queens of their own little world. We become our own lawgivers. We decide what we want to do. And then when we come into 1 Samuel, the story doesn't begin with Samuel. It actually begins with a woman, Hannah, a prayerful woman, a woman who mourned deeply because she wasn't able to have a baby. And she committed her trouble to the Lord in prayer and cast her hope upon the only one who could save and bring deliverance and provide hope. And she prays in chapter 2. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. In her desperation, she cried out to the Lord who could deliver and provide. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah and provided her a baby boy named Samuel, who she devoted to God's service at the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. So again, what do you want? It's the question we need to ask. What is it that you want? Do you want to live in this state of desperation with no hope? Or do you want to call out to God, as Hannah did, as the only one who can satisfy you? Hannah sets a great example for us in faith. But the story quickly descends into unfaithfulness. One of the best illustrations of this depravity and unfaithfulness comes through two priests by the name of Hophni and Phinehas. Two priests, servants of God, who should have known better, who should have studied the law, passed the law on, been examples of God's word, and yet they elevated themselves over God and the people of Israel. They disregarded God and they exploited the people. In fact, they are introduced in this way. The sons of Eli were worthless men. Imagine being introduced to people in that regard. This is such and such, a worthless woman or a worthless man. This is how these two priests are introduced. They did not know the Lord. Among other things, when it came to the sacrifices that were devoted to the Lord, it became a barbecue banquet. They would take what they liked, And if there was any resistance, they said, we'll take it by force off you. They didn't want to be faithful. And the people of Israel saw the compromise of these men, and it set the tone for the nation. These are the men that should have been the most godly, the most gracious, who abided by God's moral law and set an example for the people. Yet they exploited their service for their own gain. They were nothing more than ratbag priests. They weren't faithful. They used their position for comfort. They enjoyed their influential position without any responsibility. Again, what do you want? Comfort? Power at the expense of others? Or do you want to be faithful? You need to decide beforehand. And Hophni and Phinehas, because of their unfaithfulness, their compromise, were judged. They died in battle. Well, the next person we meet in this story is Samuel, who, as we saw, was devoted by his mother Hannah to the Lord's service in the tabernacle. And if you know the story in chapter 3, Samuel is in the tabernacle or around that area, and he's sleeping, and he hears the voice of the Lord cry out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. So for Samuel, there's no question of what he wants. He wants to be faithful. He rejects the compromise, and his life is one of trying to get the people of Israel to be faithful. There's one more story before I move on to Richard Wurmbrand. In chapter 4 of 1 Samuel, the Israelites come against the Philistines, and they don't call out to the Lord for help in this battle. They go straight into battle without consideration of how they can submit to the Lord. And in the first battle, 4,000 Israelite men get wiped out. And they don't want to be defeated again. So they call for this, the Ark of the Covenant, this box that they could carry around. Inside were the tablets of the Ten Commandments, some of the manna, Aaron's staff that budded. And it was a visible reminder to them of God's sovereign rule amongst them, and along with his grace in their midst. But they had turned this important box into a magic box. If you've ever watched the movie Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones' sidekick, Marcus, says, an army which carries this is invincible. And the Israelites had that same understanding, the incorrect understanding of what this, the purpose of this. It was meant to remind them that God is in their midst, but they thought, this is the item that will ensure us success. Bring the ark, they say, and we'll be invincible. And we read the ensuing battle. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and they fled every man to his house, and there was a very great slaughter, for 30,000 foot soldiers of Israel fell, and the ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. What do you want? Here the Israelites tried to manipulate God. They tried to twist his arm. Do you want the blessings of God without the relationship of God? Well, this story says you can't have that. Do you want to be faithful, crying out to the Lord in moments of distress and need, not presuming that he will act how you want him to act, but knowing that he can and will act for your good and his glory? Now, after this defeat against the Philistines, the Israelites demanded that the prophet Samuel appoint, give us a king over us, to rule over us, and we want one that's going to be just like the other nations. The Israelites rejected God as their ruler. They wanted a physically powerful king, a king that could lead them into victorious battle. They didn't care for a king who would lead them in faithfulness. Well, this need for faithfulness comes to the forefront in the chapter that Nathaniel read out for us in chapter 12, 14 to 15, with the prophet Samuel calling the people of Israel to once again follow the Lord with everything they have. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. Israel had sinned, and the people had more often than not taken the path of success and comfort, elevated their themselves to a position of king. And Samuel here endeavors to call them back. Come back to the Lord and be faithful. Don't rebel. Obey the commandments. And if you do, it'll be well with you and the nation. But if you don't, if you set yourselves up as kings and queens of your own little world, if you compromise, if you go after the ease, the success, the power without the responsibility, the Lord's hand will be against you. Well, the other story I mentioned was that of Richard Wurmbrand, a Lutheran pastor in Romania and the founder of Voice of the Martyrs ministry. Sometimes they mention that on Vision FM, and it has a ministry to the persecuted church in closed countries. And Richard Wurmbrand speaks about an event where the Communist Party under Joseph Stalin caused the church leaders to compromise. Millions of people died, of course, at the hands of Stalin, and they stamped out faith in God wherever it was found. And Richard Wurmbrand writes, here's a picture of him here, the Communists convened a congress of all Christian bodies in our parliament building. There were 4,000 priests, pastors, and ministers of all denominations, and these men of God chose Joseph Stalin as honorary president of this congress. At the same time, Joseph Stalin was president of the world movement of the godless and a mass murderer of Christians. One after another, bishops and pastors arose and declared that communism and Christianity are fundamentally the same and could coexist. One minister after another said words of praise towards communism and assured the new government of the loyalty of the church. And Richard Wurmbrand, speaking of himself, says, "My wife and I were present at this Congress. Sabina told me, 'Richard, stand up and wash away this shame from the face of Christ. They are spitting in his face.' I said to her, 'If I do so, you will lose your husband.' She replied, and one for the men here to hear and the young boys. She replied, 'I don't wish to have a coward as a husband.' And then I arose and spoke to this Congress, praising not the murderers of Christians, but Jesus Christ, stating that our loyalty is due first to him. The speeches at this Congress were broadcast, and the whole country could hear proclaimed from the rostrum of the Communist Parliament the message of Christ. Afterward, I had to pay for this, but it was worthwhile. The president of the Baptist Union of the Baptists praised Stalin as a great teacher of the Bible and proclaimed that Stalin did nothing but fulfill the commandment of God. Those who became servants of communism instead of Christ began to denounce the brethren who did not join them." And the point I want to make is that all throughout history, people have had to make a choice. The Christians in, well, the God's people in 1 Samuel and the disciples of Jesus, the people who were with Jesus, all through last century, like Richard Wurmbrand, had to make a choice. Do I want to be successful? Do I want to fit in, be comfortable? Do I not want to have to stand alone? Or do I want to be faithful? Now, the story of Richard Wurmbrand and the sufferings that Christians in that part of the world suffered at that time were quite extreme. But we will likely encounter moments where we could potentially compromise ourselves. And those moments for you might come in school, when your friends in your class encourage you to do something that doesn't please God. And you'll need to make a decision, just like Richard Wurmbrand had to make a decision in that meeting. Hundreds of pastors compromised and only one honoured Christ. You know, we need to stand alone sometimes if we need to. You know, when you're watching TV or playing the computer and something comes on that doesn't please God, you know, will you compromise or will you be faithful? Do something else, turn it off. And moments like these come for your parents as well. At work, perhaps to be honest or dishonest. You know, what do your parents do in that situation? And what kind of person do you want to be? We need to decide ahead of time. Will we be faithful or will we compromise? And this is what Samuel pleads for his people, and the words that we have heard today when he says, "If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well for the glory of God." Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the book of Samuel and the grand theme of compromise and faithfulness. We pray that when those moments come that tempt us and challenge us and entice us to walk away from you, that you would hold us fast, and that even if it costs us, we would honour you above all things. I pray for these young men and women in brigades, that you would help them persevere in their faith and keep them faithful to the end. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'll invite Christy.